The preacher was humor impaired, and he felt like he could do a lot better preaching. He'd been doing it a lot of years. And so he decided to work on it, and he thought, maybe what I need to do is go to seminar. And so he went to a seminar that was supposed to help him learn how to be a better communicator. And so one of the guys that he really enjoyed, and he felt like he learned a lot from this particular speaker, at one of the sessions he got up, and the very first thing he did was he looked at the audience, and then he said, "The best years of my life I spent in the arms of a woman who's not my wife." And boy, he got everybody's attention. And then, just after a little bit of a pause there, he said, "And that woman was my mother." And people laughed, and he went ahead and delivered a message about communication. But what stuck in that humor-impaired preacher's mind was, wow, that like got everybody's attention. Like, he just had them in his hand. And he thought, that's what I want to be able to do. But then he thought, I just couldn't do that. That's just, I would mess it up. That's just not me. But then on the drive home, he thought to himself, now, I paid money and I invested time in the seminar. I'm going to go home and be a better speaker. So I am going to do this. And so he was standing right front, song before the lesson, and he's going back and forth in his mind. He's like, I'm going to start with that story this morning. He's like, I can't do that. I just can't do that. And then he went, but that's why I win. I've got to start with this. He's literally rocking back and forth. He has worked himself up to such a frenzy that when he finally gets in the pulpit, his brow has already broken of a sweat. And he kind of grabs it like he's attacking something. And this audience that he stood before for the last 10 years is thinking, what is wrong with the poor soul this morning? And finally he takes a deep breath and he just blurts out and he says, "The best years of my life, I spent in the arms of a woman who's not my wife." And half of the oxygen was inhaled out of the room. And they're all thinking that, what's he confessing? And then he pauses. And then he pauses again. And he's forgotten the punchline. And finally he just blurts out and says, "And for the life of me, I can't even remember who she was." It's not just in jokes, but it's also in life that the finish is so very important. Dean Karnazes is considered one of the greatest physical finishers of our modern era. He's been named by Time Magazine as one of the most 100 most influential people in the world. He's been called by Men's Fitness Magazine the fittest man in the world. Let me give you just a few of what could be hundreds of examples. He's run a 135-mile ultra marathon, 135-mile across Death Valley in 120 degree temperatures. He's ran the 26.2-mile marathon in the South Pole where the temperatures averaged negative 40 degrees. You may be familiar with, there's a lot of 200-mile races made up of 12-member relay teams. He has raced 10 of those solo, competing against the teams of 12. He has run 350 miles at one time, foregoing sleep for 3 days. He has swam across the San Francisco Bay. He's climbed Half Dome in Yosemite. He's mountain biked for 24 hours straight. A few years ago, they made a documentary. It's probably in local theaters. It didn't make it like a big documentary, but across the country. But it was in various theaters across the country. It was in the little theater in Mount Juliet. And it was about him running 50 marathons in 50 days in 50 states. He started in St. Louis. 50 days later, 50 states later, he ran the marathon in New York. And on his 50th marathon, he still recorded a time of 3 hours and 30 seconds. That is. But this makes it even more amazing. he decided to do his cool down run back to where he started, and he ran from New York to St. Louis. He very often throughout the years has told his family where he would meet them many miles away, and he would begin running. He'd call the pizza delivery man and tell them what intersection to meet him at what time. He would stop running, throw a card at the guy or cash or however it was, take the pizza box, and never stop running as he continues to train. When you talk about a man who does not know how to quit, Dean Karnazes is one of the great motivational speakers because he knows how to tell people to finish. But you know, if you could have somebody today to stand before you to talk about finishing, I don't think any of us could ask for anybody much better than the great Apostle Paul. He thought that he was going. Be turning back, if you will, to Acts 20. I want to read a verse to you. I promise you this will be shorter, and it will be. As you're turning there to Acts 20, I want to remind you of what we mentioned earlier. He really thought that he was going to Jerusalem to die. He thought that that's what the prophecy of the Holy Spirit was. And so he thought that this was his finish. Instead of giving up or giving in, or instead of saying, I'm not going back to Jerusalem, or instead of whining like a baby, or instead of accusing God or shaking his fist at God and saying, where are you? This is not fair. We don't see anything like that. Instead, we read things like this. You remember we read earlier about when, in Acts 20, you know, we picked up earlier today in verse 17. Remember we read about the tears and trials in 19 and how he didn't keep anything back. And in 21, he testified to the Jews. This is what he preached when he went around. He testified to the Jews and to the Greeks. And this way he said, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, and see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. So he's talked about the tears and trials in 19. He's talked about the tribulations that await him. And I know it depends what translation you're reading from. And I'm going to teach this from the New King James. It's a little bit different in other translations. But I want you to notice what he says here in 24. This is the message I leave you with today. He says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. What did he declare? He declared to those elders that none of these things are going to move me. What things are you talking about? I'm talking about the tears and the trials. I'm even talking about the things that are coming up in the future that I don't even know what they are. Now, Paul, if you don't know what they are, how do you know they're not going to move you? Because I've made a decision. I am willing to give all for the cause of Christ. I want to ask you a question, and I'm not asking you just to answer this now. I'm asking you to take this with you and think about it. What price would you sell out? I hate to say, but my guess is most people have a price. Do you remember the young rich ruler? Jesus even said he was close to perfect. But if you read Mark's account, do you remember what Jesus also said? This one thing you lack. That rich young ruler was a good man in many aspects. But he had a price. And he wasn't willing to pay the price to be a finisher. I want to encourage you to look long and hard in your spiritual journey. and evaluate your commitment and ask yourself, would I sell out? I want to ask you some hard questions. If you go home today and your wife says, I'm through. I'm not talking to your neighbor, I'm talking to you. Your wife says, I'm through. No more God and no more you. I'm out of here. Where are you and God going to be next week? If all of your kids say this Christianity thing's a hoax, I'm not living it. Where will you and God be? If the congregation you're a part of falls apart, instead of love, there becomes a lot of hatred. Instead of unity, there becomes a lot of division. Instead of peace, there becomes a lot of pain. Where will you and God be? When to stand up for the Lord cost you your job, will you keep the Lord or your job? It can feel real good studying about finishing. It's an entirely different matter to finish. Howard Hendricks of Dallas Seminary said that he studied 100 leaders in the Bible that started out well. And he said what he found in scriptures was that 2/3 of those men did not finish well. I wish I'd have had this understanding younger in life, but I treasure it now. There was a time in my life where I didn't admire the older members of our congregations that are still faithful after many decades of their journey. I don't look at them the same anymore. It's not easy to walk as a faithful Christian for 60 and 70 years. The only way that happens is people overcome a lot of trials and they decide to stay with God instead of quit. They watch a lot of their friends over years turn their back on God and they decide to stay. They watch family members quit and they decide not to. Paul said, none of these things move me. Can you join Paul? And can you just kind of, when you say, what's these things? Just put a blank there. And somebody says, oh, but I need to know what's in the blank. It doesn't matter. You put anything in the blank you want to put in the blank, and Paul would say, I'm not quitting on the Lord. But Paul, it could cost you this. I'm not quitting on the Lord. Paul, it could cost you this. Put anything you want in the blank. I'm not quitting on the Lord. How can you get to that point? Well, notice his value system. And I know this reads a little bit different in some translations, but in the New King James, the next phrase in 24, when he says, none of these things move me, the next phrase says, nor do I count my life dear to myself. What's Paul saying there? He's saying, I've got this value system. And if you were here last night, you remember we talked about the pyramid? And that's a little bit of this pyramid coming out here. And so he says, I've got this value system. And when I weigh out, you know, you put in the old-timey scales. Got a pan here and a pan here. And he says, when I put in the pan and I say, here's my life. And here is my relationship with God. Paul, which one is more valuable to you? He says, my relationship with God. I don't count my life more important than my relationship with God. And because of that, none of these things move me. Have you ever considered that Satan has a toolbox of tools that he can effectively use against a lot of people? And one of those is fear. And especially if that fear is associated with pain and the loss of life. Now imagine if you're Satan and you're looking at one person, you say, all I have to do is get somebody to threaten them with fear and pain, and they will become fearful, and wow, that'll really discourage them from serving the Lord. And then Satan looks over at this other man over here. And one of his angels says, what are you going to do with him? It's hard. What do you mean it's hard? He's not afraid to die. He's not afraid to give up everything. Can you imagine how that changes things? Paul, what do you value? I value the Lord Jesus Christ more than I value my own life. That's why none of these things will move me. So Paul, what's this leading to? You know the next line. He begins with so. He's saying those things so that this can be true. So that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord. Because of that, this is what my vision is. This is what I'm leading to. What are you leading to, Paul? Finishing. I want to finish my life with the Lord, but I also want to finish my ministry with the Lord. As long as you live, don't ever stop serving the Lord. Finish that ministry. Finish with the Lord. And notice, it's not a regretful. It's not a, I'm angry at God. Look at all the things that's happened. Paul right now thinks he's finishing. He thinks it's about over. And what's he talking about? I want to finish with joy. How's that happen? Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And, you know, in Hebrews 12, we got that great chapter of Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. And then we come right out of that in Hebrews 12. And notice this focus. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run, how? With endurance, the race that is set before us. So where are we going to be looking? To what we value the most. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, did you like the shame of the cross? Despised it, He said. But did you look toward the cross with joy? Absolutely, because I knew the victory that was going to be won. I knew what was going to be offered. I knew what could be accomplished. And so now we run with endurance, looking towards Jesus, and we look forward to the finish with joy. Not because it's always comfortable, not because it's easy, not because the emotion is happiness, but because the deep inner peace and understanding is we're going to have the joy that is to come. Now, as we close this, I want to ask you, where do you think Paul got that idea? Where did Paul get the idea of staying faithful to the end and finishing? The seven sayings. The last one wasn't, I quit. It wasn't, it's over. It is finished. We're all going to breathe the last breath. Or we're all going to look up in the clouds and see the Lord. And let's make sure that when that time comes, we will have not quit, but we will have finished. I close with this illustration. It's football season. We know what the red zone is. And good teams like to look good in the other 80 yards. But in the big scheme of things, what does it really matter? What's real important is what you can do in those last 20 yards. If you're an offense and you're always stopped in the last 20 yards, you will not win games. I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about it as a movement of time. And I hope you're close to God today, and I hope your relationship with God is real, and I hope it's faithful. You are faithful. But in the scheme of life, what good is who you are today and what you are today if you don't finish? If you can't complete it in the red zone. And so for those like Jesus Christ, like the great apostle Paul, or other men and women that you can think about in your mind right now that you admire their faithfulness to the end. That's what it's all about. So perhaps a lot of people do have a price they would sell out. I want to encourage you. Don't. For your soul's sake, for your family's sake, for your congregation's sake, don't sell out, no matter what the cost.